Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Can you say Happy New Year tomorrow? Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We're going to May 3rd and 4th. Flounder season opens tomorrow. Coming up in our next segment, we have Captain Scott Newhall talking about some early season backwater flounder tackles. Really jammed up there. Let's give the week 5 trout stocking for South Jersey to Rack and Fin Radio listening area. And that's about it, except for the Manasquan, Matita Conch, and Toms. It's going to be done. Okay, on Monday, Ningma Home Brook gets 120. The Manasquan River gets 980. North Branch of Matita Conch 320. South Branch and Matita Conch 500. The Toms River 530. Now remember, the Toms and the Matita Conchs, 5 p.m. opening. On Wednesday, Assinpink Creek gets 220. On Thursday, May 8th, the Cohansie River 100. The Southwest Branch Rancocas Creek 180. And the Morris River 330. And that's a wrap for the Rack and Fin Radio South Jersey stocking. Listen, that's a reminder, too. The first annual Levi Bowler Memorial Tournament still has a couple of spots open. You bass guys out there, first place $1,000, second place $500, third place $250, and a $250 Lunker pool. It's only $100 per boat. Not $100 per angler, two in a boat. $100 per boat. Go to ranchhope.org for more information. It's going to be a great time. It's May 31st at Alloway's Lake. Now, that's a pressured lake down here in Salem County. You got some good bass guys fishing out. So let's see what you have. Okay, grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Coming up, Captain Scott Newhall. Also, Safari Club International is going to be a guest. And Bass Pro Pete Luzik, sort of Bass Pro, kind of retired, works at Iaconelli Bass University. His son Jake is tearing up the tournament trail. Does he want to follow his dad? We will see. So grab that cup, grab that Rebel, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, having too much fun the May month.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, man, again, Happy New Year. We know in a parallel universe thing. Here it goes. Starting tomorrow, summer flounder back bay. The bite is going to be, I'll tell you, this weather pattern, we don't know. They've been catching flounder in the back now for weeks. Actually, maybe a little longer than that. I know some of my connections down there in the, let's say, Sea Isle to Stone Harbor to Wildwood area. So the fluke have been back there. Early season fluke tactics. They can be voracious or they can be persnickety or they can be so choosy and picky, make you want to pull your hair out. Maybe go chase some bluefish that are all of a sudden all over the place. Thank God I love my blues. Join us on the line right now. God, I think this is our 15th year opening up the Back Bay season with Captain Scott Newhall, Timeout Charters based in Absecon. Besides the fluke, he is a striper ace, goes after tuna by himself. This man is a hell of a basketball and baseball coach, if I say so myself. An all-around cool guy. Newhall, how is that for an intro, Scotty?
I have a lot to live up to, Tom.
I'm telling you, you do. You always seem to do. Tell people we're out there sometimes, and boats and yaks are flying every which way, personal watercraft. Newhall finds the fluke. There we go. Scott, early season, water's cold, warming up. We're going to have some chilly weather coming up. No doubt there's going to be wind and storms coming up. Early May is notorious for that. Where are we looking, Scott, and flounder behavior this early in the game? What you got, man?
Well, location, as always, with everything in fishing, is key. So you want to get into the back bays. This one, South Jersey back bays, Central Jersey back bays, really shine. You want to get into the skinny water, the little channels, the little grooves that go through the flat where the grass shrimp and the little mussels and all those little tiny organisms that the fluke feed on. You want to be there. That's where they're going to stack up. The neat thing about an opener is, boy, oh boy, I tell you what.
On a Sunday, who's going to church? Not.
What happened to the Sabbath? But
I'm going to hell anyway, Scott. Even though I was an altar boy for all those years.
You have angels on your shoulders already.
I have an angel at home, my lovely Dee Marie. After that, man, anyway, so go.
Oh, man. Yeah. You know, the American society is obsessed with openers. So make sure you get to your raft, your boat early, because those fluke are going to be any fish like you were mentioning in the intro. There are fish that are waiting and ready. I would suggest a dawn departure. Forget the tides. Forget all that. They are going to bite as soon as the sun comes up. Get to your favorite channel. This is not inlet time. You hear me talk about inlet when we speak in the midsummer, July, August, all that. That's when, you know, deep water, inlets, funnel. Not now. This is skinny water, backwater, lightweight gear at its finest. You're going to see the trolling motor crew out. You're going to see the guys with 5 feet rods, snap jigging, gulp like crazy, 10-pound braid. They look like they should be crawling around in the forest looking for wild trout with some of these guys. I'm telling you, it's an exciting time, and this is when South and Central Jersey really, really do shine, I got to tell you.
I just got right into the second week in June. Things start to level out. But the back is where it's at right now, and it's going to be that way for another 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, man. Scott, it's going to be super.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're going as far away from the inlet as you can go with productive waters. I mean, obviously, you don't want to overshoot the fish. But this is when the summer flounder migrate kind of their furthest, in May and June, like you said. So you have this period before in July, they're kind of everywhere. They're in every channel. They're in the inlet. They're in the ocean. And they're really spread out when you get in July. But May and June, this is when you want to get deeper. And I don't mean deeper in terms of depth, but deeper into your estuary, into your nursery system. And you're really checking out those the potholes that are amongst flats, little, if you can find a spot with 6 feet of water where it's 3 feet of water all around it, maybe you can only get in there at mid tide or high tide, and at low tide you might get stuck. Well, those spots get piled up with fluke. This is a really fun time for guys in John boats and flash boats, and you can really seek and find. There's not many secrets out there, but overlooked spots, things that other folks aren't fishing. And then you choose your tactic, whether it be like most, the Berkeley gulp, which kicks butt, or, of course, live bait, you know, tried and true, still works.
Yep, Scott, I'll tell you, going up to Creekside Outfitters there in Route 9 of Waretown, a lot of guys I spoke to there, I've watched them fillet a fish in the back. Scott, early season, loaded with little calico and baby blue claw crabs. Loaded. And they can't keep the gulp peeler crab thing, whatever that stuff is called, on the pegboards. Again, during May, it's that crab bait is unbelievable. But listen, check it out. If you can find it, it's going to be a monster, the gulp turbo shrimp. They have another new shrimp with the nemesis tail on it. I'm a fan about that. This gulp turbo shrimp, no hell, I'm telling you, Johnny Proc now on last week. This bait is badass.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. I haven't seen it or used it, but I can't wait. Anything that Johnny comes out with works. I mean, look, you have every company out there trying to imitate what Berkeley Gulp has done, and everyone's trying. And anything with a paddle tail catches, so all the companies could be like, "Yeah, our formula works." Well, anything with a paddle tail will catch a fluke. So it's kind of hard to totally decipher, but. Yep. Hey, if you got X amount of outings on the water, you got so many trips, why mess around? Berkeley Gulf all the way.
Scott, now, too, there's something to be said for live bait. Also, Deb, spearing. Spearing's also hot. But, Scott, I watched some guys, and with you, I've seen the guys trolling, but that was more towards early summer. But, Scott, I saw some guys back behind Ocean City, all the way going down there, Whale Creek, what have you, with basically light freshwater bass tackle, Scott, with little, like, Yuzuri crystal minnows or little Rapala minnows. Plugging for fluke and Scott getting fish.
Yes.
A secret there, man.
Like all things in fishing, if you can hone in your tactic, if you can hone in your strategy, it will work. I've known guys just troll men's stretch 25s and catch fluke. So the big thing, the big thing with what you're talking about, those Yuzuri crystal minnows and different kinds of crankbaits and trolling yep. lures, the big thing is keeping them clean. If you can That's troll right, yeah. them without getting all the lettuce on it, okay, you will catch. And trolling, I did quite a bit of trolling out of a John boat when I was 20 years old in college, actually. And I didn't have it to an exact science, but when I could get away from grass, and I did a lot of this Outer Banks, North Carolina, I did some of yep. it in New Jersey, I'd come and go from it. It wasn't my regular thing, but I did do it at times. It's extremely effective. Now, I want to pivot to New Jersey trolling. There is a group of people that do really work on putting a trolling presentation out there. They run a heavy weight. That way the line stays straight up and down, yep. and they will troll a gulp or a live minnow, and it will work. Probably every inlet system, every let's call it estuary system in South Jersey probably has a couple trollers. There's a gentleman named Gordon. He's a friend of mine, and he's taught a few people, and it's kind of branched off like the Andy Reid coaching tree, you know, back from Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
And then you have all the coaches that become head coaches, sort of like that. Mm. So, yeah, there are definitely trollers that are here and there, and it does work. But it can also be frustrating. You can't just go out and be like, hey, I'm going to troll and yep. catch a dozen yep. keepers and release keepers. You got to get good at it. So let's be fair. It's not just like, hey, let's show up and it's going to happen. You got to practice.
That's what I'm saying, people. So stick with a gulp on a jig head right now. Any early going, it's a no-brainer. If you get some big killies, minis, whatever, they're effective as well. Scott, are these fish, like you said, they're going to be stacked? You're going to find the bigger fish as loners, or will you find 14, 15-inch fish mixed in with fish up to 20 inches and greater? What do you think?
They can be loners, but I think you're going to find a mix for sure. I think you could have the guy on one side of the boat reeling up a 12-inch fish, and the other side of the boat's going to reel up a 23-inch fish. And this is a really good time of year for that 18 to 24, 25-inch fish. There's going to be a lot of 2 to 6 pound fish out there. That's a real good size in early May. And as May progresses, you're going to see more of the 6, 7, 8, 9 pound fish enter the system. But to start out of the gate, you're going to hear about a lot of 5, 4, 5, 6, 3 pound fish.
This is the time, man. Newhall, you're getting me crazy. You're getting me crazy, Scott.
Yeah, that first summer flounder dinner, there's nothing like it, actually. So I'm looking forward to some keepers myself.
Join us on the Rackfin line, Captain Scott Newhall. Timeout Charters are based in Absecon. Who knows if he has any openings? This guy's booked through his both his boys' weddings. I'm telling you, this is going to be, and they're in their early teens. That's how jamming this guy is. Well, Scott, too, when getting back to the gulp, the forms, whatever, color make a difference. Water's going to be turbid. It can be clean, whatever. You got the weeds down here. You know, you see the chartreuses and you see the electric chickens and the hot pink glow, blah, 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 blah. Is it color important, or is it the form, the motion, the speed, and that scent of that bait?
I believe it's the scent. I believe it's the form and the motion the most. I put color kind of on the back end of the priority, although it sure seems like some days one color will hit more than another. So
if I hear pink shine one more time, people, I'm going to friggin' scream. and I was like, oh, what? Yeah, that was that. Scott, Back Bay, Inlet, and out front. Last year, for whatever reason, and before that, just probably, it was New Penny, the brown and white or brown and pearl, whatever. Right. Scott.
Sure.
From the shrimp to the grub to the swimmer, you couldn't keep those on pegboards. And I've been in shops from Bayonne down to Cape May. Like, holy God. Burgett's out there, social media or something, Scott. But when, like you said, when they're keyed on a specific color, it's lights out.
It's bizarre because, like you said, you have 100 baby calico crabs in their belly. And here they are eating a 5 or 6 inch Berkeley, grub with this long tail that looks nothing like a baby calico shrimp. They're opportunistic. They're going to eat what comes in front of their face. Okay, or
Well, Scott, they're going to be in the face. They're going to grab that. We know that. But just the one thing, we only have a few minutes left with Captain Scott Newhall here. Captain Scotty, what about, again, dealing with it, and for the first few weekends, dealing with the pressure? Etiquette is there somewhat. A lot of times it's not. Playing the game, avoiding, and still being able to fish effectively when you have a boat here, boat in your ass, and boat here, boat. How do you deal with it, man? I've been on boats with you with that, and we still caught fish, and he says, how does he do it? I said, it's Newhall. I don't know. Scott, really, well, dealing with that, and then I don't get into, you know, the reaction of some people with flying a bird in a whole bit, but dealing with this opening, these opening two or three weekends, weeks worth of pressure. Go.
Well, look, I mean, I'm getting older, so I'm very calm. But, you know, you do have a lot of people all just jacked up. They had all their morning Red Bulls and everything, coffees, and they're fired up. You have to be patient out there, especially with these openers that people love so much. No matter what species, people love openers. So you're going to have a trolling motor coming upstream while you have somebody who's been drifting since 1956 drifting downstream, and they're heading for one another. I think it's important to communicate. Hey, throw a wave. Hey, I'm coming your way. Are you going to move this way? Yep. You going to move that way? I'll bump over here. The fluke themselves don't care about the turbulence on the surface. That's the good news. They don't care about all the boats and the clanging and the motors. They don't care at all. So everybody's going to catch fish. The key is not to irritate everyone, one another, and to get along. And unfortunately, fishermen, you know, can be a little bit brash out on the water.
Yeah,
hey, look, right.
And at the ramp, Scott. Oy.
Oh, my gosh.
that's Chris for another story. Go.
the ramp. So you get in a ramp line, you have your stuff ready. Once your turn up at the ramp, you're not unstrapping the boat right in front of the ramp. Oh, I'm going to load the cooler, get the six pack out. Hey, I'm going to play with the minnows right on the ramp. That should be done ahead of time, back far away, so you're not blocking or wasting time. People want to get in and out of the water. If you do have a crew and someone can drop the vessel in the water, and then that other person can drive the vehicle and park the trailer, that'd be great. Listen, I take a lot of people. They can't do that for me, so I have to do everything. But I've gotten really, really fast at it. But yeah, patience is going to be key. There's no doubt about it. You have to be that way. I don't care. Yep. You just can't. You can't get all fired up. Like, look at that guy that went viral on the internet a month ago, and went out of his mind there because he didn't have patience under some bridge. Now he's arrested, crazy Florida captain. So, you know, got to take it easy. It's just everyone. This is a hobby. It's for fun, not to get in fights.
Yeah. Scott, so, one last thing here. Now, these opening 3 or 4 weeks, prime time to get a shallow water possible flounder of a lifetime, correct? Like you said, 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds. I mean, to me, if I ever got a 5 or 6 pound fluke, I'd be doing handstands. You don't want to see a 325-pound guy do handstands. You know what I mean? So this is the prime time. Again, one more time, the regs, 3 at 18 and greater, Delaware Bay, 3 at 17 and greater, Island Beach State Park from the surf, two fish at 16 inches or greater. So, Scott, I mean, it's prime time. Listen, get the gulp, get some live bait, but above all, be courteous. Keep your eyes out. Watch what's coming at you. Watch where you're going. There's plenty of fluke to be caught. Again, Scott, this is prime big-time flatties, correct?
Correct. This is going to be a really great time. Now, they're already getting caught, but hopefully it's in gear right away. The only other thing I'd say, though, is if it were a little bit off, not to be discouraged, because sometimes, you know, we're talking about a May 4th opener. It's early. And sometimes they bite like gangbusters, and sometimes it's a little more sluggish early. Every week, more fish are going to just keep coming in. And with every new moon and with every full moon, with water temps warming, it's just going to keep getting better.
Captain Scott Newhall, thanks for joining us again. 15, 16th year in a row. Opening day fluke tactics, back bay, back waters. Scott, give that website or Facebook and phone number, please. Then I got to go.
Oh, it's timeoutfishingcharters.com. It is timeoutcharters@gmail.com to email me, and phone number 609-385-3729.
Captain Scotty, best of the boys, the lovely mom, Melissa, and family. Take care, man.
You know it, Tom.
See you at the ramp. Fourth of the landing.
Yeah.
Check it out, man. See you, Tom.
Thank you.
Captain Scott Newhall. Wow, it's been that many years. Okay, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
The Brett Bear Minute.
Tuesday marked 100 days since President Trump returned to the White House second time around. The 100-day benchmark gives us an opportunity to assess what the president and his administration have done since the beginning of his second term. The president spent the occasion at a rally in Michigan where supporters joined him in celebrating the wins, as he called them, on the border, his signing of more than 130 executive orders, and the steps he's taking, in his words, to make America wealthier. Host of the Guy Benson Show, Guy Benson.
Trump came in, fixed the border problem, is at least well underway getting dangerous people out of the country. A lot of voters might say, okay, great, cool, we like that, but the job's done. Now what are you going to do for me when it comes to the number one issue, which is the economy, my pocketbook, prices, etc.? So you can milk the goodwill on immigration all you want, and they deserve all of that credit. But just in terms of the psyche of the public, if they feel like the win has been notched, they're going to move to the next thing.
I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Here we go. Look out below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of May 3rd and 4th. Hey, again, it was great to see a bunch of you out there at last Saturday's. That was a lot of fun. A little bit of a ride to get there at the South Jersey Jamboree there at the Equestrian Center in Gloucester County. That was a lot of fun. Some great people there. Hey, man, I had some feedback on that segment we did on Rack and Fin regarding voluntary use of non-lead ammo. Well, is there going to be a ban on lead ammo? I was dealing with five questions over the week, some emails. As far as I can see, no, it's a voluntary thing going on. Well, put a call in the Safari Club International. I get the newsletter, and there's this organization, a lobbying organization, only one for hunters' rights here, full-time lobbies in D.C., is about staving off any type of mandatory, not voluntary, mandatory lead ban. Join us on the line right now. Very cool guy. Has some acquaintances down here in Montgomery, Alabama here. It's B. Frederick. B. serves as Safari Club International's Eastern States and local liaison. He works to protect the freedom to hunt by working with state and legislators and fish and wildlife agencies, okay, for hunting and conservation. I said, B, let's talk about this Safari Club stand on this, any type, rather, push to, they just stopped something in Maryland, from what I understand, stopping the ban on lead ammo because it's a nose under the tent, if you get my drift. B. Frederick, thanks for joining us. How you doing, brother?
Hey, good morning, Tom. How you doing, man? Thanks for having us on. Really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. How are things down that way, bro?
Man, all good down here in Alabama. Come down, come fish with us anytime, man.
Lake Jordan, man, my area of operation when I'm down Montgomery Way, One Bell Road. Well, B, on a serious note here, Safari Club is at the fore of getting this out there, like in some of the goals, whatever legislative goals you have going on. What's the lowdown on what are you hearing, like they did in California, mandatory bans on lead ammo?
Yeah, man, for sure. I appreciate that. I believe you saw it in our federal priorities document.
Yep.
So with the new administration coming in, we laid out 10 priorities for the new administration, things that SCI would be working on with them, and one of which was lead ammunition. So this is a federal and a state issue, like you mentioned. We did a lot of work on it in Maryland this past year. And, I think it's important really to make sure everyone knows kind of again, kind of what we're talking about here. So, you know, it's something, one of the things that we're seeing efforts to have mandatory sweeping, broad strokes, blanket bans on lead ammunition that we fully believe are not supported by, required by science. And we think those are very overreaching and unwarranted and you know, would have some negative impacts on hunter participation and conservation funding and things like that. So, you know, we're very much under support, you know, science-based efforts and voluntary efforts, educational incentive-based efforts, very highly site-specific, targeted, you know, case by case, places where, you know, it may make sense, but these broad strokes are simply, you know, not the way to go.
And B, are these, the broad strokes, are they backed by sound science?
You know, we would say no. I mean, there are various studies out there looking at the impacts of that, but most of the time they are, you know, conflated with, you know, whether it's the different types of ammo. So, you know, it's important to understand lead ammunition is not the same as, you know, lead paint.
Lead paint. That's right. You made a great point with that, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Or lead gasoline. You know, ammo is metallic lead and paint or gas is organic lead. That type of lead is more easily absorbed and more dangerous, more readily found in the environment. So, you know, we think it's really important, again, to differentiate the types of lead, where it's found, the actual impacts. The species impacted, the population level impacted, if any human health concerns, you know, looking at whether it's chronic exposure versus periodic bumps or, you know, things like that. So there's a lot of things to consider when looking at the science, and a lot of times it gets, you know, either overblown or conflated or a stretch on, you know, some of the impacts. And, you know, again, we want to make sure that it's completely science-backed. And, you know, and try the other methods. You know, we mentioned kind of voluntary education incentive base. There's also other, you know, kind of other areas. You could bury your gut piles. You could, you know, pack out the whole animal. There's all kind of different things that we think are definitely the better approach than just mandatory bans.
But you brought up two very interesting subjects, and we were discussing this the other day. One is loss of access, possible loss of access if these bans are, you know, put in. And also, the impact on funding, you know, at the, you know, hunting license sold, matching federal funds, whatever. Go into that, please.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I do want to make sure and touch on kind of the different on the federal and state side. We can come back to that. But on the access side, you know, it's one of those things where we think this is an access issue. So if you, you know, ban a certain type of ammunition, that's going to certainly impact, you know, rural hunters or lower income hunters. You know, there is a price disparity. It is coming down, but there is a price disparity between lead ammunition and other types of ammunition. There is also an availability issue. You know, it's hard to find ammo, alternative ammo types. And so when you look at that, when you look at the impact it would have on new or youth or novice hunters that may not be able to find that, or again, the regulation changes,
right,
or the price differential, we think it would certainly impact that. And, you know, one of the things where, you know, there's even types of looking at types of guns and, you know, without getting into the ballistics, the twist rate and all that kind of stuff that would impact different types of guns. You might have people that might need new firearms, or folks that, you know, in lower calibers, especially like a .22 is not available, certainly not readily available. So that would, you know, small game hunters for youth, kind of introductory to hunting, things like that.
Right.
So it's certainly an access issue. So when you expand that, you have less hunters going to field, you have less folks buying ammunition, you have less folks buying licenses, then all of a sudden you have these resultant declines in conservation funding for the state agencies.
The ripple effect, yeah.
And then, yeah, exactly. Then you're losing the federal match, the 3-to-1 match as well. So it's certainly something to be concerned about.
Join us on the Rackerfin line this morning. It's B. Frederick. B. serves as Sparrow Club's international, eastern states, and local liaison. So, B., what's the tenor out there? Are you seeing from SCI side increasing numbers of states maybe calling for voluntary, you know, no lead things, or is there stuff percolating under the surface? Let's try a sweeping ban, no lead ban again, like the left coast out there, California. What's the matter to the chatter out there?
Yeah. I'll, you know, kind of get top down. So it's a federal and a state issue. You know, you saw in our priorities document that was on the federal side of things. The Fish and Wildlife Service, you know, they have their annual Hunt Fish Rule. SCI comments on it every year. They use that to expand hunting and fishing on national wildlife refuges. And the last administration actually did continue to do that, which was good. But with that, they require the phase out of lead ammunition and lead tackle on these national wildlife refuges. So again, kind of an access thing. We have two champions in Congress, Congressman Rob Whitman from Virginia and yeah. Senator Steve Daines from Montana, former SCI Legislator of the Year. And they have Protecting Access and Hunters Anglers Act. And this would prohibit the Secretary of Interior or the Secretary of Ag from banning lead ammo or lead tackle on federal land. So we're hoping to see those get through. The House version passed the House last year and did not pass the Senate in the last Congress. So we have that. We also have, to your point, we're seeing this in the state. So a lot of states are supporting the voluntary incentive-based thing. We support that as well. You know, we think that's the way to go. We did see a big effort in Maryland the last 2 years to ban lead ammo for all species, all types, private land, public land, all hunting. It was a phase out over 2 years initially, and then they changed it to a phase out over 5 years. We worked with our partners to help defeat that, and, that came from the anti-hunting crowd, trying to
These anti-hunting groups, they're relentless. They'll try any avenue, any little side trail, anything to eventually ban hunting.
100%. Death by 1,000 cuts from that side.
Before we rub against a hard break here, SCI, give us a little bit of background, please.
Yeah, absolutely. SCI, we're an advocacy organization. We have an office in Washington, D.C. We have an office in Texas, an office in Brussels, an office in Africa. We're working every day on the international, federal, and state level, working with elected officials and state wildlife agencies, state and federal wildlife agencies, to protect the freedom to hunt. So we are a non-species-specific just pro-hunting organization. We have a C3 Foundation side as well. It does great work.
Nice.
But on the advocacy side, we're working to protect hunting.
And listeners, to get involved at the Garden State level, we have a New Jersey chapter. Bob Newland's the president. He was on Rack and Fin last year. Hunt Newland, N-E-W-L-A-N-D, @gmail.com to find out any more information about the Jersey chapter, Safari Club International. Well, B, thanks for clearing up some things with that, because, again, I was hit with not a lot, but just enough questions where, is there going to be a ban? Is there going to be a ban? Well, it's voluntary. B, it got a little crazy.
Yeah, I think it's just something to stay aware of. And then for hunters, to say, hey, we, support the science and want to do the right thing, but also recognize that these broad strokes are, again, not the way to go. So we want to continue to promote, just science-backed information here.
Okay, Ben. Well, B, you had mentioned, I'm trying to squeeze this guy. I don't want to get hold of B, Frederick. But B, real fast, you had mentioned something went on in New York regarding lead. What was that?
Yeah, absolutely. The state agency had a lead working group in 2022, and just coming from the state perspective, they actually said that a lead ban is not necessary and that it would come with, it would be challenging to advance and come with significant social costs and compromise other conservation efforts. So you have a state, not too far from New Jersey up there in that area, and they're saying, hey, we don't need to do this from a mandatory level.
Well, B. Frederick, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin Radio. And that's not going to be as one time. You're going to be on many times in the future, B. I'm telling you, this guy is a pocket rocket, man. B, there's an event or something coming up in Jersey. You're going to be here? What's the dealio?
Yeah.
Go.
Looking forward to it. Be up there at Griffin and Howe on June 12th with Bob Newland, president of our new chapter up there. Actually, with our senior litigation counsel, Regina Lennox, as well. She'll be there. And happy to answer any type of these questions or other questions as we get the chapter kicked off.
Okay, give us a website, please. Go!
SafariClub.org. Very easy.
B, you take care. Travel safely, man. I'll see you in a few weeks, it looks like. A couple months. You'll hear me coming, Frederick. You'll hear me coming.
I love it, man. I look forward to it.
Take care, bro.
All right, see you.
Yeah, I had a lot of questions about that. Again, just saying, it's is it a non-issue? No. Is it an issue? No, it's sort of that in-between type thing. Again, going with the voluntary avenue, SCI is for it, the organization we had on, the Peregrine thing, they're go for the volunteer. No sweeping bans at this blanket. No, it's not going to work. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Fox News, I'm Deborah Valentine. Russia launched a major drone assault on the Ukrainian city of Kharkiv, wounding 47. Ukraine reported 183 drones and decoys fired. Doge head Elon Musk is heading back to Tesla, but insists the work of the Department of Government Efficiency must continue despite that. Fox's Rich Edson.
Musk says Doge needs to be a long-term enterprise.
There's a lot of work required to restart the waste of fraud.
Democrats accuse Doge of inflating its savings, sloppy work, and cutting vital government services, medical research, and aid.
Musk steps away from Doge May 30th. Five corrections officers at the Wallens Ridge State Prison in Virginia were attacked, three stabbed Friday night. Authorities say it was a coordinated attack by inmates affiliated with gangs, including MS-13. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Today, expect a mix of sun and clouds with very warm temperatures reaching 88. Later, clouds will increase, maintaining warmth. Tonight will be partly cloudy and warm with isolated thunderstorms possible. Lows will drop to 64. Tomorrow, skies will be cloudy with cooler temperatures around 77 and a chance of a few showers. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Joe Lundberg on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Okay, now we had mentioned everything's going on here. This is a crazy time of year. We know that. We always talk about, you know, the youth fishing derbies, getting the youngsters involved. It's getting to another level now where the teenagers, the high school kids and the college age kids, becoming fantastic, beyond out of control, great anglers. And it all starts in the beginning again. Crawl before you walk, walk before you run. Sometimes, though, that doesn't happen. Joining us on the line right now, very special guest, Pete Gluzik, known him for a long time, South Jersey boy, professional bass angler, former professional bass, and tied him with a lot of stuff with Mike Iaconelli and that whole bit. But he told me an interesting story about his son at Tom P. He really wasn't into fishing. Now the young man is out of control bass angler. How you doing, Petey?
Man, I'm good, Tom. It's good to be with you. And, man, it couldn't be. That's so true. I'm so excited because, you know, my son, you know, he played video games. He was addicted to that. And I had a hard time, you know, getting him to fall in love with fishing. And I just kept exposing him to it. And I learned some things on how to do it and how not to, you know, overwhelm your kid. And now he just loves it, and we're fishing all the time.
Well, Pete, he has great antecedents. You're a professional angler. This is a full disclosure. I fished with Pete way back when, its first Bassmaster Classic. Then it was, what's that, North Carolina? So, Pete, it's in his genes. It's in his blood. What do you think? What made that switch go off, bro? What do you think?
You know, I think a little bit of it was maturity, you know, fishing, you know, you go through some periods of time where you're not getting that action all the time, you know, and with video games, it's coming at you 100 miles an hour. So, you know, when his brain was young, when he was young, you know, fishing was a little too slow for him. But as he, you know, matured and, you know, he got a few bites, a few great experiences, and it just now it's just all he wants to do. He's out rigging rods all the time, and I think one of the pitfalls. This is one of the pitfalls that I think I want to share with you, because I think a lot of guys that love fishing like me, they take their kids out and they take them out for an 8 or 10 hour day, and it's kind of like you're putting them in jail in the boat for 8 hours or on the bank.
And
that's a mistake. You want to take them out in short spurts, hour here, hour there. If they want to go for a boat ride, if they want to go for a hike, they want to, you know, wade through the water and goof around, man, you need to let them do that. You need to let them fall in love with the outdoors first, and fishing will come later.
And, P, it's funny you say that, because my cousin's twin boys now, they're in their early 20s, I guess, and they would fish for a while, but then they want to throw rock again. They want to hike, and it's up in North Jersey. And that, you know, mm-hmm. I said, right. He says, well, you know, let them be boys. And now, Christ, especially the one Stever with the trout stock, and the guy, he's in his black Dodger. He's all over the state catching trout. You can't keep him off the water. The other brother, Ryan, when he has time to go, he goes. He kicks ass, too. But it was that thing, Pete, where you didn't try to force them. That's where, you're right, that's where the youngsters get turned off.
And it's our fault because we love that stuff, man. We work all week. We get a Saturday. We're going fishing, man. We can't wait. We want to put all day in, and it's really hard for, you know, a dad or an uncle to, you know, to back off the throttle and say, you know what? Okay, we're only going to fish for a short time, and that's okay. You know, I get it, but you know, we got to ease him into it. All I can tell you is it really worked for Jake. He came to it on his own. Now on every single moment, he's like, Dad, can we go? Can we go? Can we go?
I'm checking out a photo Pete sent me the other night. These bass. What the hell? What the hell? What are you guys, just on Okeechobee? These are huge bass.
Man, well, but we were on Okeechobee. We had a spring break. We went down there. Shout out to my buddy Tim Roach, also a high-level bass angler. And he's got a place down there. And we went and stayed at his place. We fished the shad spawn. Oh, my gosh. It's just crazy down there with the shad spawn. We had an hour every morning where we caught a fish virtually on every cast on top water. What an amazing place, an amazing experience for Jake. So, man, it's down in the south. It's post spawn. It's spawning all through our area right now.
Right now, north, yeah.
It's still it's pre-spawn. So, man, this is the time of year, man. This is, I think, everybody's favorite time of year to be on the water, and we've been enjoying it.
Well, Pete, antecedents, you know, being what they are. Has he, Jay, has he mentioned it all or played with the idea about, hey, Dad, I want to be a bass pro?
Yes.
Okay, now, Pete, I know and you know from your personal trip, and I've seen it for years and years before I was in the industry, the grind, the commitment, the dedication, that being redundant, but you have no idea, sleeping in your truck, eating bean weenies and stuff. Is he aware of, again, the way the technology, everything's accelerated now, but is he aware of the hard knock situation? Because it's a reality.
I'm giving him the dose of reality, and, you know, you got to want it. It's just like, you want to be at the top level and whatever you do, man, you've got to get after it. And you got to really, really want it. So but he talks about it. That's his dream. He would love to be out there. Trey McKinney, I don't know. He's like 19 years old or 20 now. He's a young buck on tour and he's just lighting it up. And that's Jake's hero right now. And, you know, he wants to do that. But he's putting the work in. He's putting it in.
That's what's important. Fail or succeed. He's putting. That's the business. That's the bottom line. You want to do this, man. Even when the conditions, like you told me once, Tom P., even though conditions are bleep and really bleeped, you go. You go, and that's how you, like you said. And the guy I fished once from Texas, wild guy, man, Stan Grazini. I love you. I said, boy, your name is messed up as my name. And he laughed, pouring sideways. I don't know if we're on Lake Lower, sideways down. He says, this is how you find out when you get a chance to pattern, which isn't a common thing. And Pete, again, put in the time, man.
Putting in the time. Here's the magic, Tom. You got to love it. You got to love to practice. You got to love to put the time in. And that's what I believe really separates people. That I always loved it. I love being out there by myself. I love fishing by myself. I love being out in that nasty weather and seeing these weird patterns come together, trying to figure stuff out when it's 150 degrees outside or freezing cold fronts. You know, I mean, I always loved it. And that helped me get to the next level. And Jake's showing the signs of loving it. But he's also, man, he's getting into the video side of things, which I love because everything today is it's YouTube, it's TikTok. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's getting your brand out there. And he's doing his video editing. GoPros rolling. And the beauty of that for me as a dad, you know, because that skill is going to translate. Whether, you know, you decide to make it as a pro or you do make it, that's going to help you a lot. If you decide you want to go into something else, that is a fantastic skill set that's going to carry you through these next couple of decades.
Okay, Glizzer, before I let you go here, because I know you're on the road. She's out on the road. They're going fishing. You're going to return to the competition? You're going to get back into the tournaments? What are you doing, man?
Man, I'm going to fish the Bass Open here on the Chesapeake where
good
you
for
know,
you.
Where I fell in the water last time I was on Fox. But we're going to try. I got third place last time when they were here. I'm going to try to go for the wins. Tom, I love the tournaments. Man, I'm kind of retired from the big tournaments, but I still love it. And
he's a Gluzik, people. What can I tell you? This kid's the same way. Gluzik in whatever nationality means kick-ass bass fisherman. That's a loose translation, people.
He's off to a good start. I'm proud to watch him work. He won the States last year. They made it to the Nationals, him and his partner, Max.
All right.
And they're going to try to do it again this year. So I'm thrilled to be his boat captain.
Well, the best of luck, Pete. Again, the success from when he was a little kid. Now all of a sudden I'm seeing photos. I said, this is Jake Lusick. Wow. How to get John Rogovin to share that knowledge with you. Again, don't force the youngsters. If it's in there, it'll eventually come, Pete. And your son Jake's a shining example.
Go check him out. Jake_GluzakFishing. That's his Instagram handle.
Spell the Gluzik.
GLUSZEK.
That's Italian. Oh, only kidding. Pete, you take care. Have a great summer's day. And best to Jake, man.
All right. Thank you, buddy. I'll hope to catch up with you soon.
Soon. Sometime in late May. I'll sandbag you with that later.
All right.
Okay,
sounds
bye.
Good, buddy. Bye.
Gluzik, what a guy. Be right back to wrap it up. Rack and Fin Radio. This kid is amazing. It's great to see the teenagers doing it. And we have some badass great bass anglers in New Jersey. And this young fellow, kid's a goat. This young fellow, he's going to be in the rankings. Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, a majority of Americans have put off or decided against veterinary treatment for their pet because of the cost, but the consequences can be deadly. We'll examine options. Also, a car company in China is using humanoid robots as salespeople. Plus, will Arizona highway signs change from kilometers to miles? And everything you need to know about crafting a Kentucky Derby mint julep. That and more on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
My neighbor invited me to a Wounded Warrior Project event. I didn't know what to expect, but it felt like everyone understood me. We got each other. So I got more involved. I joined support groups with other women warriors, and it helped me realize a new purpose in my life.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Wrapping it up on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. We're going to May 3rd and 4th, but before we sign off, a very special event's going to be coming up on May 10th at the Parkertown Firehouse there in Southern Ocean County, exit 58 off the Garden State Parkway. Go there, get to Parkertown Drive, go down blinking light, make a right, coming up Route 9, you'll see the Parkertown Drive, make that left, go up. Firehouse is right there by the blinking light. There's going to be a spaghetti dinner for Anchor Mike. Now, background on this, I'm leaving the Acme in Tuckerton, stop by, I always grab something out of there, and I see this poster on the billboard. I said, I know this man. I've seen him before. Seen him for read a little bit. And Mike is suffering from ALS, okay? Lou Gehrig's. And there's going to be a benefit for him. And I was shocked because I knew him from Anchor Appliance, hence Anchor Mike. It's right up the road, right up Route 9 there. It was at Mayetta or Eagles or whatever. And I was shocked where you feel it in your guts. Well, Mike is there. He's on the Rack and Fin line right now. I want to get just catch up with him a bit. His lovely wife Lisa is there, and Mike, Lisa, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
You sound good. He wanted to put put me in a headlock a little while ago. I was a little late getting the call in here, so he's still full of piss and vinegar. So Mike and Brenda now. Brenda is his last name. His wife's name is Lisa. Because I thought Mike and Brenda. Right. But Mike, I had seen you at Anchor over the years, and I saw that, and I was kind of, like I'm sweating right now, I was kind of shocked. I mean, you're in a very, very difficult place. You seem to be in good spirits, and this event, I'm not going to be able to make it. We're going to be traveling, but I wish I was there. And could, if you don't mind sharing, Mike, this is very important for the people out there, your trials and tribulations, your faith in Jesus. What's happening, little brother?
Well, you know, listen, you got to take everything life throws at you, you know, whether it's good or bad. You know, and like you had just mentioned, my faith in Jesus Christ is huge, you know, and it gets me through every day. You know, I wasn't expecting a sudden turn, but, you know, you just learn to deal with things as they come.
And Mike, keep it in that spirit. That's awe-inspiring. I mean, you're taking it day by day. When I called you the other day, you were just returning from the hospital in Philly, and your spirits seem to be there all the time. You're always upbeat. Lisa's there. Lisa, how do you keep it going, man?
Like I said, we just take it one day at a time. You learn to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, you know, there's a lot of bigger things in life than, you know, me having ALS. You know, you have, I put it in perspective of, you know, I've lived a pretty full life. You know, I've gone through a lot of things in my life. I've overcome drugs and alcohol. I'm 11 years sober.
God bless you.
Yeah, only through, again, my faith in Jesus. And, you know, he brought me here for a reason. Maybe it's to, you know, inspire other people. I don't know, but, you know, I never let things like this get me down. I got a great support group around me. I got a great wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great bunch of friends. And, you know, like I said, there's children out there, you know, that aren't even going to be able to have a life, you know, like.
Good point. Good point. Yeah.
Children of St. Jude, things like that, you know, which I'm a big advocate for.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, I got great kids. They're grown. They have their own houses. They have career jobs. My one son, my 23-year-old son, Dylan, he's a police officer in Atlantic City.
Wow.
Yeah, my other son keeps your power on. He's a lineman for Atlantic City Electric.
Well, Mike, you and Lisa did it right. Listeners, it's going to be May 10th at the Parkertown Firehouse, a spaghetti dinner, adults $20, youngsters $5. And is there a number to call for more information, please?
Oh, sure. I mean, they can call my cell phone or my wife's. My cell number is 609-290-0027. I probably won't answer due to my condition, but you can call my wife, 609-389-1650.
Hey, and Prent, I still don't want to get in one of your headlocks, man. I ain't lying. That's still not happening. Listen, by the way, Mike, my donation check is in the mail. Okay, you should get it. And hopefully if I can switch plans, I'd love to stop in. But just tell those who are planning this, they better have enough spaghettis.
Listen to me.
I'm 350 pounds of spaghetti and meatball monster. You got that?
You realize I come from an Italian family, right?
No, and Brendan, no. Well, Mike, God bless. God bless. Wish you the best. And you're really an inspiration to all of us. I really mean that from my heart, brother.
Well, thank you so much.
You take care. Lisa, you take care. God spare us. I'll see you. You guys take care. I'll see you. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Remember, you are not promised tomorrow. Mike is an inspiration. Okay, God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. We'll see you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.